Sacrificial giving. So let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, thank you so much for your presence today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, Lord, and your truth sets us free. So, Lord, we open up our heart today to be taught by your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a difference between giving an offering and giving sacrificial giving. And I heard a story told once by a minister, and he shared a story about they were going to do a special dinner for a pastor for appreciation, and they asked the chicken to give an egg, and they asked the pig to give the bacon. And the pig said to the chicken, "What you are giving is an offering. What I am giving is a sacrifice." So that's the difference. That's the difference. Okay. God loves a cheerful giver. So let's read 2 Corinthians 9:7 together. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So this week and next week, we're going to talk about stewardship and finances, and Jen and Gabe will be sharing next week. They taught a Sunday night on stewardship and during our Seven Mountain Kingdom Influencers class, and so they're going to share some of those truths from the Scripture next week. And also, so this week, we're focusing on giving as a part of our relationship with God. Okay, so Scripture has a tremendous amount to say about money or material possessions. 16 of the 38 parables that Jesus taught dealt with money, and one out of every 10 verses in the New Testament addresses this subject. And there's around 500 scriptures on prayer. There's less than 500 scriptures on faith, but there's over 2,000 verses on the subject of money and material possessions. Did you know that? God has a whole lot to say about our material possessions and how we steward our money. So money's important, and because our attitude towards it often reveals our relationship with God. Because the way we handle our resources is one of the clearest indicators of our heart's spiritual condition. They used to say if you take someone's checkbook and look at it, you'll know where their heart is. Or if you take somebody's, now would be your digital credit card statement or debit card statement, and look where you're putting your finances, that's where your heart is. Let's read Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up treasure. So our resources, our finances, are not simply a physical matter, they're a spiritual matter. And Jesus shared this because he said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. What you treasure the most, that's where your heart is. Finances can either be a sign of surrender to God or slavery to the world system. Giving is not an obligation, but an opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God and to lay up treasures in heaven. And I always love this verse because I know whatever I do unto the Lord, it is sealed in heaven. You're not gonna get up there and find out that the moths got in, it's full of worms, you know, the bugs laid eggs in it and all of that mess that we have here on earth, or that they've got mold in it. Have you ever put something away and then you go to get it out and it's got some mold on it? Well, whatever we do for God and whatever we give to God, it is secure in the heavens. So God wants, I believe, to restore a healthy godly understanding of finances in the body of Christ. If we get pulled into the world system, it's all about what you can get and what you can have and how many toys you own and how many houses you own and what kind of car you drive. You know, I'm really thankful that I was raised poor. It was my mom, when my dad died, my mom was left with all of us kids. So we didn't have a lot. However, we never lacked for anything. We had lots of love. We were in church whenever the doors opened. And we had a family that loved God, and my mom gave sacrificially. She didn't hesitate to give beyond her means because she knew God would take care of her. And she always had the attitude that, you know, it's not about what kind of car you drive. It's not about what kind of clothes you wear. And I went to John Adams High School, and John Adams is that I had friends that never wore the same pair of shoes all year. They never carried the same purse and never wore the same outfit. They had nose jobs. They had face, you know, their faces done. I mean, what you can imagine that money could buy, they had all of that. And here I am, this poor girl that grew up down in River Park. Well, they always call the kids that grew up in River Park the River Rats. And so we were from a whole different economic status, neighborhood, whatever. But, you know, I'm thankful that my mom taught me that didn't matter. That didn't matter. It doesn't matter how much you own. It doesn't matter how much you have. And when you covet and envy and are jealous of other people because of that, then you have a heart condition. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with having fantastic cars and going on fabulous vacations if you can't afford it. And if your treasure is really in heaven, are you living and laboring just to do that? So you can tell when you look at someone's finances what their relationship is with God. I've often heard a saying. We had a pastor that used to work alongside of us, and he would say, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. So when God enters our life, giving just becomes a way of life because God is love. And there ain't nothing that can steal your joy, Chris. That offering song was for you. You know, it's overflowing when God comes into your life. The joy of the Lord. And you want to give because you love. You know, the scripture says God so loved the world that he gave. And so he started right off from giving, and he gave his very best. I read a story this week about a businessman that he traveled a lot, and he was gone from home a lot, and he decided that he should get his wife a gift on this business trip that he was on. And so he went to a cosmetic counter, and he asked the clerk about perfume. He said, do you have a bottle of perfume that my wife would enjoy? And so she brought him a bottle of $50 perfume, $50. And he's like, well, you know, that's a little bit much. So she came back with a smaller bottle, and it was $30. And he says, well, you know, I was thinking a little bit less than that. So she come back, and she brought him a tiny bottle. And she said, this bottle is only $15. And he said, well, what I mean, I would like to see something really cheap. And so the clerk picked up a mirror and handed it to him. What are you willing to give and invest into the kingdom of God? Because when we invest in God's kingdom, when we invest in his work, we are investing in something that is eternal. And it is a treasure that is laid up in heaven. So let's take a look at everything we have belongs to God. everything we have. It's not ours. And that's what my mom would say. This isn't ours anyway. And when we leave, she said, when Daddy died, he didn't get to take nothing with him. You know, so you can have a whole lot of stuff, but it's not going anywhere when you die. Because everything belongs to God. We are simply stewards of the possessions that God has allowed us to have. So let's take a look at everything belongs to God. God owns everything we have, but he makes us the managers of it. And we must realize that we are merely stewards of any material goods that we possess. So no sense in getting all puffed up about what you own. Because if it wasn't for Daddy God, you wouldn't have it. And the more you have, the more you have to take care of. We had a large home, in-ground pool, and all of that out in Jimtown. Loved our big house when the girls were at home. Loved to have a place where everybody could gather. The lower level of our house could easily hold 100 people. All of us could have had church there. It was just a really great house for the time that we needed it. But I wasn't attached to the house, because that house does not identify who I am. But God blessed us with that home at the time that we needed it, as our children were teenagers. When your kids get older, all their friends get bigger. You have to have more space for them. And I always felt like I'd rather have their friends come into our house so we keep an eye on things than have them someplace else. Okay? So we thank God that we were blessed with that. But I wasn't attached to that. So when it was time to sell it, when God said, sell it, downsize, get something that is less expensive to run, for you and Leonard, I mean, we still had a couple kids at home, we did that. And they were older, getting ready to get married, but we did that. We sold that house and got something smaller. And we love our little house. It's not really that little, but it's much smaller than what we had. The challenge was trying to move furniture from a, 3,000 square foot house into something that was half that size. Yeah. Because I wanted to keep everything. Okay? I wasn't attached to the house, but I like my stuff. So a lot of the furniture that you see in the side rooms was from our house. We shared it with the church. Hallelujah. But anyway, everything belongs to God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Let's go on, Psalm 24, 1. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. Psalm 50:10 through 12, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. Wow. Proverbs. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So we're to honor the Lord with all our possessions. Another passage says, translation says, honor the Lord with all of your substance. So everything that we have belongs to the Lord. He owns everything. You know, as you read that, you think of the little squirrels that are running out in the yard and all the wildlife that we see. All belongs to God. All belongs to God. And so we're stewards of the earth. Did you know that? And we should be good stewards of the earth and not litter the earth. You know, people have a whole different idea of letter nowadays. I pulled up into Martin's over on Napanee Street to pick up some groceries this week, and the parking spot I pulled up next to, someone had decided to clean out their car. You know, and it was just trash all over. Dirty diapers. I'm just like, what is wrong with people? You know, what is wrong with people? Somebody does have to clean that up. You know, and it's just a whole different concept. When we were growing up, if you threw a piece of paper out the window, my mom would whip you. You didn't litter going down the road. You know, and it just seems like, well, from all the paper we pick up here, out in the yard, Pastor Leonard counted once, and it was 3,000 pieces of litter. But he did find some money, so. So you do get paid, you know. God makes sure you get a little bit of extra stuff when you're out doing the yard work. But it's amazing how people litter and just don't think anything of it. But the earth is the Lord's, and we're stewards of that. I've been out with Apostle Leon when he has picked up litter. He won't leave it there. And I'm looking at that spot, and I'm like thinking, I ain't cleaning that up. I'm not picking up a dirty diaper, and I'm not going to do that. But I did go into the store and let them know that all this trash was out there, because once the wind starts blowing, it goes everywhere. And so they went out and cleaned it up. But the earth is the Lord's, and we should be taking care of it. You know, we should be taking care of it. And we're to honor the Lord with our possessions. We honor the Lord, another translation says, with our substance. We honor him with our substance. And we bring in the first fruit and give it to him. And that is honorable. And honor him with our substance. And I was thinking about that word substance. When we're talking about sacrificial giving, you have to give on faith with sacrificial giving. You know, it's like what God purposes in your heart, you extend yourself to sacrificial giving. And you do that by faith. The scripture says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when we move into sacrificial giving, we are stepping into faith. There is substance in faith. Faith is the substance that is at work in our life so that we can give above and beyond what we see right now. I remember the first time Leonard and I made a building pledge commitment. And we were a young married couple. We might have had lease at that time. But we committed $500. And $500 was a whole lot of money back then. Yeah, it was like committing $5,000. And I thought that was like, wow, $500, that was the most we had ever committed to give together above and beyond our tithe and offering. And so it was by faith. We believed that God was going to supply that. We believed God was going to protect Leonard's health as he went to work every day. And would get him back and forth. Amen? Because if God doesn't help you get to work, you ain't getting to work. Come on. Everything about us, even the breath that is in our lungs, belongs to God. Have we thought about that? Have we thought about that? We live and move and have our being in God. The scripture says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That we've been bought with a price. Jesus paid for us with his blood. There was a blood price that was given for each one of us. And so amazing. So amazing that God would give his son. That we might have a way to come to him and we might have a way to heaven. And everything in our life. Everything, tell your neighbor everything, should honor God because we honor him with our possessions, with our substance. If you have a really nice car, then you should be picking people up for church. If you have dependable transportation, you should be making sure somebody gets here. I remember Leonard's family. They had 8 kids in the family. I don't know if they were all in the car at the same time, but you know, back then you could put kids anywhere in the car. And we all lived. Hallelujah. We all survived that. But they used to pick people up for church. And for years they picked people up for church. And they would just sit on each other's lap and just scrunch into that car. It was probably like, you know, where you see all the clowns getting out of the Volkswagen. And they would pull up in the church parking lot and all these people kept piling out of this car. But they were willing to do that to make sure people got to church. Last weekend, we were at the church we both grew up in. And they had invited the women's trio that I sang with to sing at the 100-year anniversary of the church. And so that was great fun. At the time that he was head elder at the church, there was over 700 people in that church. And families that had been there from the beginning. It's like his grandfather, my grandfather, they were there at the beginning stages when the church was planted. And so it was good to see people that we've known for years. But I thought, what an amazing heritage and legacy that they have left for their faithfulness. It's the same family that started the church that is still overseeing the church. And they have been faithful with their possessions. It was the building of the church there in South Bend that Leonard and I were a part of, sewing into and working almost every weekend. They would have lines of people passing bricks. And we had a bricklayer and that was a member of the church, and people gave of their time and their talents. And we watched that church be built. And once the basement was finished, we had church in the basement, and it took several years to finish the upstairs. But it is still there today. And so it's an eternal work. Many people have been saved. Many people have been baptized. And I thought, as I sit there, I thought, well, in 78 years, I pray the river of life is still growing strong. You know, everything that we've been doing to prepare for the future, to set up our next generation to be able to succeed. And I don't know if you got a chance to look out the windows, but I think Roy's Avenue, is completely steeled, just like this side of the building. It looks fabulous to look out the cafe door out here and see that beautiful steel siding, which we, as Tim said this morning, we'll never have to paint again. Hallelujah. But God is so faithful, and we honor him with all that he's given us by how we take care of it. By how we take care of it. We honor him. And there's a lot to take care of. So I encourage you, if you can get out for work day, we really appreciate it, because we have a set schedule of things that we take care of. Plus, we have surprises, you know. Sometimes things break down and you have a new project. Or you find a leak somewhere. And so we want to be good stewards with what God's given us. And I believe that's why God has blessed us with what we have, is because of the stewardship at River of Life. When we were downtown, we took good care of our buildings. And we stewarded them in honor to God, because this is the place that God brings people in. It's like Chris's testimony was a fulfillment of prophetic word. He just walked in the door and he said, I'm not real sure why I'm here, but I just feel God drawing me here. And so I'm here. And he came on a Wednesday night. And that took a lot of, I believe, courage, just to walk into a place that you've never been to before, that you don't know any people. And he said, I'm here. And we're like, well, praise God, you know, we're glad you're here. And so he's connected because God drew him here. And that's what God does. We've prepared a place for people to come. And we together invite the presence of the Lord. This is just a building. But God resides as we reside in this place. So we honor him today. So let's go on. The scripture says we cannot serve God and money. Can't serve two masters. Let's see what Luke says, 16:10 through 13. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So it's impossible to hold allegiance to two masters at the same time. And the Lord is very concerned with our use of finances because he knows that if he can trust us with finances, he can trust us with spiritual things. And so the true riches are those mysteries of God. Those are the true riches in life, is to understand the Word of God and the revelation that is in God's Word. And if we are faithful with what is in the natural, God is going to give us what is in the spiritual. But first of all, it's first things first. He looks to see if you're faithful with a little. Because if you can't be trusted with a little, he's certainly not going to give you a whole lot. We do not give our children more responsibility than what they can handle. And we all know as parents, as kids are growing up, we just, you know, you give them a little and see what happens, right? You trust them a little bit further and see what happens. And when you can trust them more, you give them more leeway. Always praying, always watching. And so God does the same thing with us. And he looks at our finances. So let's go on. Because he does look at our finances. Sacrificially, give sacrificially and your own needs will be met. So this is in Luke 21, 1 through 4. And this is Jesus. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. So what the widow gave required a great sacrifice. Because the rich were putting in large amounts of money that they could spare. So sometimes we can get into this mentality of what can I spare? But if God is challenging you into sacrificial giving, it's not going to be what you can spare. It is what God is asking you to do. God asks us to do his will so that he can accomplish his plans in our life. So he was watching, get this, what people were putting in the offering. He was watching people drop their money in to the offering. And he noticed the widow's sacrificial giving. She gave everything that she had. Let's read on. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So when we are giving according to God's plan, God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that we have all sufficiency in all things. You see, we don't trust in our finances, and we don't trust in the paycheck that's coming in every week. Our trust has to be in God, that He is able to abound in grace and give us everything that we need to live in this life and to accomplish the good works that He has already assigned to us before we were ever born. He already had the plan laid out, but if we are trusting in our finances and in what we can do ourselves physically, then we are going to miss the blessing of God, because He wants us to rest in His strength, in His grace, in His provision, in His mercy, and in His plan. He planned our life. He planned every day of your life. You won't live beyond a day that He didn't plan. Our cousin Phil Williams just passed away this week. He was a young man. He had prostate cancer. He'd been battling for about 4 or 5 years now. But Phil is the guy that introduced us to Ballet Magnificat. And he and his wife, Paula, would come to every anniversary service. They didn't show up this year, so I knew that he must not be feeling well. But normally, they're with us at least a couple times a year. And just a fantastic couple. And such a kingdom person, wanting to help wherever he could in the kingdom. And God took him. Because you're not going to live a day past. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are not going to live a day past what God already ordained for you. Now, I got a text message from Roxanne Watts this morning, and she said, please be in prayer for her. She had a car accident with little Michael in the car with her yesterday. They hit a tree, and she believes her car is totaled. And the baby is okay, and she said she thinks she's okay. But she just wanted us to pray, because she hasn't been able to get a hold of her insurance company, and she needs a car. And so God knows that. Amen? But I'm telling you, she was destined to live beyond the car accident. Because not even a car accident can take you out if God did not decide that it was your day. Thank you, Lord. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hand, the scripture says. And so we're promised today, and we want to live today to its fullest and accomplish what God has for us today and not worry about tomorrow, because the scripture says tomorrow, the evil that is, what is that? Tell me. Somebody quote it. Sufficient is the something. We don't have enough time and energy to take care of tomorrow today. Amen. We do plan ahead, but we don't worry ahead. Because when you worry, you just steal. Satan steals your joy, your energy. But God will take care of today. If we put God first today, and He's able to abound, He's able to make all grace abound toward you. And you know, that's a great declaration. That's a great declaration. We've been teaching on Wednesday night, declaring the Word of God. We declare the Word of God for the Word of God to come to pass. And I was meditating on that this morning, and the Lord reminded me, the kingdom of God is within you. That's what He said. The kingdom of God is within you. So if we want God's kingdom to come, then we have a responsibility to release the words of the King for the kingdom to manifest into the earth realm, because we have the kingdom of God inside of us. And so we are declaring what's in us. You see, for years we've said, we're the church. I'm the church. Well, are we the church or are we the kingdom? Now, God ordained the church. But I think that there is more to that revelation than just being a representative of the church of Jesus Christ, which is important. He gave his life for the church. But the church comes together, gathers together to declare and to release the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is within us. So when we go out into the highways and byways, we are taking the kingdom because we are citizens of the kingdom. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so where I go, the kingdom goes. We're all members of the church, members of the body of Christ. But there is a deeper understanding of releasing the kingdom of God into the earth realm, because the kingdom of God is within you. He didn't say the church is within you. Come on. He said the kingdom of God is within you. And the kingdom of God will rule and reign forever and ever. His word is eternal. So when we get in tune with saying what God says and releasing it, we'll see situations change. They'll change to his will. We cannot predict what that will is. We cannot control that. But we know that when his kingdom comes, his will be done. All right, we're just going to go on here. We're talking about offerings, right? 2 Corinthians 9, 6 or 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, I believe members of River of Life from the very get-go know that we do not twist your arm to give. We don't take up five offerings. I've been in churches that they take up four or five offerings every single service. And I'm not criticizing that, but we believe that when we teach our people to hear the voice of the Lord is going to purpose it in your heart what you're to give for the work of the Lord. God purposes it in your heart. I don't have to put that number in your head. God does that. And then it's your responsibility whether or not you obey God. You know, we have no control over that. We're not trying to coerce anyone into doing anything. I have friends that have called me and said, oh, I was watching this minister on TV, and he said if I just give everything out of my savings account, that, you know, within 2 weeks I'm going to have double that amount. And it's amazing how desperate people will believe just about anything they hear on TV. And so then they give everything away and they're calling us because they need help paying their bills. Well, I'm not God, but I will help you out. But learning that, you know, people will pull on your emotions to get something from you. Come on, people on the street will work you to get your money. People walk into this church and try to work us to get our money. We are stewards of our funds. I'm not saying we don't share and we don't help people out, but I'm saying we are stewards of what God has given us. And we have calls all week long of people needing money to pay bills, and we'll pray with them. But the one thing we tell them, the scripture clearly tells us that we take care of those that are of the household of faith first. Everyone has a responsibility to take care of their own family first. And it's the same way with God's family. We take care of our family, and then we'll ask, what church do you belong to? And 99.9% of the time, they don't belong to a church because they don't want to commit to a family. Commitment is not in their vocabulary. They want to take, and they will gladly take, your hard-earned money. Is that right? I remember when we were downtown, I got out of the car parked next to the, it's the Vines restaurant now, but I pulled in my spot and I hopped out and this big old guy come up to me and said, "Give me some money." I mean, just like that. And I looked at him, I go, "I'm not giving you any money. Get a job." And then I thought, ooh, that was like probably really stupid because he could just like beat me up, take my purse. But God protected me. Hallelujah. But we ran into that a lot downtown. And a lot of people wouldn't join our church, come to our church, because they were intimidated by people demanding money from them as soon as they got out. But like I said, we learned early on, they can have a story that will just pull on your emotions. You're ready to write the check, empty your pockets. And we encourage people, don't give out cash. Don't give out money. If you get bombarded out in this parking lot or someone comes in, I'm telling you, we've watched people come in and go from person to person trying to get some cash. Why do they want cash? Well, they'll tell you that they need a ticket to go see their grandma that's dying. But the truth is, they probably need some alcohol. Or they need their cigarettes. Cigarettes are getting really expensive. And so we want to be wise with our money. We are, Pastor Leonard would always say, "I'm not supporting your habit. I refuse to support your habit. I'm not going to be a part of your sin. Because if you're giving that, then you're a part of their sin." Does that make sense? Okay, so we want to be wise with what we give. But we want to sow into the right fields. Amen? We want to sow good seed. We want to help those that are really trying. Amen? And you know in your family who's trying and who's not trying. Not that you kick them to the curb, you keep praying for them, but they don't always have the same privileges as somebody else. Is that true? Did somebody agree with me? It's the truth. It's the truth. Sometimes you have to make it hurt a little bit for people to change. Amen? Have to hurt. Have to face the consequences of what you just did. So we have our final scripture in Exodus 25, 1 through 3. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering. From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering you shall take from them, gold, silver, and bronze.'" And he went on with a whole list of things because they were getting ready to build the tabernacle. And so God was receiving an offering. But did you notice what he said? "From everyone who gives it willingly with his heart." And so the important thing is that it's in our heart to do it. God is concerned about our relationship with finances because it reflects our relationship with Him. We don't serve Him out of obligation. We serve Him out of love. So when we give in our offerings and our tithes and in the building pledge that we're asking you to pray about, when you sow into that, then you're giving willingly with your heart. God has called River of Life to be a place where we reach higher, we grow stronger, and we go deeper by teaching, training, and activating the saints. That is what we do. This is a place of refreshing. It's a place of restoration. And all that we do is focused on restoring and helping people. Restoring lives. That's what God does. We're all called to be ministers of reconciliation. And so as we come together, we are inspired, we are equipped, we are ready to go out and tell the world the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God and to win souls for God's glory. And we do that together. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. So let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. And when God had put this topic on my heart of sacrificial giving, I thought, what a perfect Sunday. The Holy Spirit will do this. To talk about this when we have our veterans and those that serve our country. They are sacrificially giving all that they have. Their life is not their own. Talk to someone who's gone into the service. You can't just decide to get up and leave and just do whatever you want or go to the refrigerator whenever you want. Your life belongs to them. And our life belongs to the Lord. Because we're in the army of the Lord. Amen? We are soldiers of the Lord. And so we yield and surrender to God's will. So let's bow our heads and pray this morning. Father, thank you so much for this word that's gone forward. I thank you, God, that you continue to teach us about sacrificial giving. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you sent your Son to die on the cross, to sacrifice his life, the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. Lord, if there's anyone here today that does not know you, I pray, Lord, that you speak to their heart. And as we gather at the altar to pray this morning, God, we just thank you for moving in them, Lord, and changing them like you've changed us, God. We thank you for your love, for your grace. And Lord, I thank you that you cause your grace to abound in each one of our lives. God, we are looking to you and expecting great things this week. Lord, as you release your grace upon us and we abound in every good work. And the church said, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask if the praise team will come on up. We're going to sing We Believe. We believe. It's our declaration this morning. We're declaring into the airwaves. We believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. Amen. These three are one.